Good afternoon. Yeah, much better. It is a good afternoon. It's good to be back together. It's good to spend this time in worship. Tonight, I want to continue a series, a theme we've been doing from time to time on the parables of Jesus. We've been taking some time about and going back and looking at what he was teaching and how he was using these illustrations in order to present to us a deeper meaning. And tonight we're going to look at a parable that comes from Matthew chapter 13. You can also find it in Mark 4 and Luke chapter 8. But it's a common one that most of us probably have heard at some time or read, hopefully, about the sower and the seed and the soil. And I want to spend just a moment reading this, and then I want to explore a little bit about what Jesus is trying to teach us here. In Matthew 13, and we'll begin there at verse 1, the text reads, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so Jesus presents this parable, and at first he presents no explanation for it. The text reads, he shared with them many parables. Well, at one point, the disciples are curious about these, and they get in a discussion about the purpose of parables. Beginning there in that same chapter, about verse 10, and they're interested about it. And so Jesus takes the opportunity here to explain this particular parable to them in the following verses, beginning about verse 18. And this is what he says. He says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet as he has, no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now, I want to think about what he's saying here and go through a couple of things that need to be explained about the parable. Number one, we see the sower sowing seed. Now, Jesus identifies for us what this is. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus says, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So there's no argument here, or should not be any argument, about what's being sold. It's not some kind of man-made idea or thought or opinion or theory, but it is the Word of God. There's no doubt about what's being preached and taught and evangelized. It's the Word of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, is a thing he's not ashamed of because it is that which saves us. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's through obedience to that gospel that you and I have a hope of salvation. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the preaching here. It's the seed. It's the Word of God. It's the message of the cross and all the things that Jesus has asked for us. In Matthew 28:19, when Jesus says, "Go therefore in all the world," what? "Making disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And so what's being produced or laid out by the sower, by the farmer here, is the Word of God. There's no doubt about that. Well, who's the sower? Well, here it's Jesus Christ, right? He's the one doing the sowing. Later it'll be his disciples, and after that it'll be those who are saved, those in Matthew 28:19, those who hear and become disciples, they will then go out making more disciples. And so that is those who sow the seed of the kingdom. We sing that song, and I meant to ask Van to lead that today, but sowing the seed of the kingdom. You know, that's what we should be doing as children of God. In Mark chapter 4, in his account of the parable, he records Jesus saying there, "The sower sows the word." You know, there's all kinds of ideas about evangelism and what's most effective and are we effective in our evangelism. And there's all kinds of programs and missions and ideas and theories brought up about different opportunities to sow the word. And many of those are good. But at the heart of the issue, the most important thing is that we're sowing the seed, the proper seed, the Word of God. Now, I can find all kinds of different avenues to sow it. We can use TV. We can use radio. We can use the internet. We can use word of mouth. We can use pamphlets. We can use seminars. We can use gospel meetings. We can use VBSs. There's all kinds of ways to sow the seed. We use the pulpit, the classroom. But if we change what's being sowed, then we're not going to grow anything but weeds. And so, as sowers, we need to remember the importance of the Word. Jesus says to disciples couple chapters earlier in Matthew, when he considers those who are outside of his discipleship, those who are not following, he looks out there and he says, "The harvest truly is plentiful. There's so much to be harvested. There's so many people who are ready to listen. However, the laborers are few, and therefore we need to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so there is a great need for the kingdom, for the Word of God to be sowed, to be taught to those who are ready to listen. And so for the remainder of our time, I want to look at the heart of this parable. The different types of soil, where the seed fell, because I think that's the main focus of this parable of Jesus. And when he explains it there, later, beginning there at verse 18 in Matthew 13, that's what he focuses his attention on, and that's what I want to focus my attention on tonight. The first area where this seed is sown is that which falls by the wayside. Now, I want to notice a couple of things, characteristics about this type of soil. Number one, we notice that this type of soil is hard-packed. It's on the roadway, and you're having lots of transportation coming across it, and it gets harder and harder, and it's dry. Now, I've been trying to sow some grass seed in my yard. Now, I really feel like I have all four types of soil in our yard, and I'm trying to combat each one of them in a different way. Right? Y'all may have that problem as well. Have you ever tried to sow something in hard-packed earth? Why do we till our gardens for? We want to we don't want that hard-packed earth. We want to till it. We want to turn it under. We want to soften it up so that the seed can get in there, so that the water and the nutrients can be in, you know, get to the seed, so that the seed can grow. It's hard to grow seed on hard-packed earth. You ever sowed seed on hard-packed earth? What do you have to do to prepare the soil? Well, because it's so hard-packed, you got to water it. You got to try to hope that water, and then you put what? You put some kind of straw or something on top of it so the birds don't get it, right? Because the seed can't sink deep into that soil if we don't do anything. You got to do something to help the seed get into the soil. And because it's hard-packed, it makes it very easy for birds to come along, and birds love seed. And they'll eat it up. And so you put that straw down there to hopefully keep them off of it. You water it. You're trying to get that seed down in the soil because that's where it's going to germinate. Now, what's Jesus saying to us in reality? Not teaching us about gardening or planting grass seed, obviously. But he's teaching us about the human condition. He says about these are those who hear, or actually those who are too busy to hear. They can't hear. Again, that seed just can't get down in there. Matthew chapter 13 here in talking about parables and why he taught in parables, Jesus says in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them," the Pharisees and those who just cannot hear, "in parables, because seeing they do not see." I've shown them the truth. They've had all these miraculous activities, things, but they still cannot see me. I've proven who I am, and yet they cannot see me. "Seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull." You ever tried to cut with a dull knife? Hard to get anything done, isn't it? I tried to cut with a dull chainsaw. Had a tree fall across our garden. Had to cut it up. Man, that was tough. I'm going to have to change that chain on it. But it just can't cut. It can't dig in there because it's dull. It's become insensitive. If we become dull of hearing, we're insensitive to words. We can't sense them. They have no effect on us. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed. They can't see. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. Jesus' desire is to heal them, but because of the hardness of their hearts, because they cannot receive the seed, he's unable to do so. Jesus here makes a quote from Isaiah, or uses a quote from Isaiah, and so does Paul in Acts chapter 28. And I want to notice something he says in verse 8 particularly. It's that same idea about being dull of hearing and you know, hearing and not really hearing, and seeing and not really seeing. And then you get down to verse 28, and I want you to notice something he says about the Gentiles, as opposed to the Jewish hearers. He says, "Therefore, let it be known that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles." Why? "And they will hear it." It's because they're ready to listen. God cannot do anything with us if we are not ready to listen. If we have made ourselves so that we cannot be molded and shaped by God, He cannot mold us and shape us. You know, and it can happen to Christians as well as those who were trying to teach the gospel to. The Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 5 and verse 11 about those Christians, he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Why? Why is it so hard to explain it to them, since you have become dull of hearing? You know, as a child of God, sometimes it can be hard for us to hear God, to listen, because maybe we have an opinion about something and we know we're right. Or we have something in our lives that we hold on to, something we know we shouldn't, and we hold on to it out of just stubbornness, out of self-willedness. I don't know if that's a word, but I'll make it up. We have to be people who can hear, and that takes some humility. The soil, this type of soil, the seed is never going to be productive in their lives. Not because the power of the seed has changed. It's because they will not allow it to penetrate their hearts. So, you know, if you're trying to teach someone, or maybe this is you, and someone's trying to teach you, it's never going to do us any good until we begin to cultivate the soil. Now, does this mean this is the way the person will always be? No. One thing I've had to learn over the years is sometimes people just aren't ready to hear the truth. But maybe later they will be. Maybe after years of cultivation and other people working with them and other events in their lives working with them, God working with them through all this, maybe later they'll be ready. But in that condition, if I'm in that condition, if someone else is in that condition, I cannot do. I can throw all the seed I want to at them. They can throw all the seed at me that somebody wants to. I'm not ready to take it. They're not ready to take it. And so that's something we need to keep in mind for ourselves and for others. The second type of soil he calls the rocky soil or the stony soil. What we notice about this type of soil is that it's not hard-packed like the wayside soil. It's not hard-packed like this. Now, I've got a lot of rocky soil. And because it just seems so hard to grow grass, we're about ready to the point we're just going to mulch it. Because nothing can get in there. The thing is, the soil is there. There's an ability to get in there. It's not like the wayside. But what seed does get in there, because it's so rocky, because there's so many impediments, the seed, when it germinates and it begins to stretch out and grow those roots into the soil, it can't, because there's too many other things in the way. Now, I think about the application Jesus is making here. What's he saying to us? You know, there are those types of us and others who hear the word. He says they gladly receive it with all joy. They're excited about being a child of God. But when they begin to be persecuted for the truth's sake, they wilt away. You ever tried to plant something in rocky soil? What happens to it? It might grow great for a little while, but eventually you start to see the effects in the plant and it starts to show itself. It begins to wilt. One thing I want you to notice here, think about this scenario, what he's talking about. This is someone who's heard the gospel, who's had the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. They've obeyed. He's talking about Christians here. These aren't the wayside soil who didn't even obey the word. These are those who obeyed, but they didn't stick with it. Life pulled them away from the church. Now, don't we know people like that in our own lives? That may have been us at one time in our lives. Maybe it's us right now. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I mentioned this earlier, Paul, a defender of the gospel. Why was he such a defender of the gospel? Why was he such an excited evangelist? He's an excited evangelist. Why? is because he saw the change in his own life. He saw the past sinner that used to live where he lived, used to live in his heart. And that's not the man living there anymore. And it's all due to the effects of the grace of God. And so he says in Romans 1 and verse 16, you can almost feel his excitement. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He believed that. He knew it. He saw it in people's lives. And he wasn't ashamed of it. And he was willing to go to whatever lengths he had to hold on to that. He didn't get distracted by the things we get distracted by. There weren't other things in his life that were more important because he removed all those impediments away. When you want to plant a garden, you ever tried to plant a garden on rocky soil? It's hard. What do you got to do? You got to remove all that stuff out of there. Sometimes you got to bring in fresh soil because that's just too rocky. But you try to get in there and you're trying to clean it up. You want to get rid of all those things that are hindrances. When we became a child of God, did we do a whole lot of house cleaning? Or did we try to live the same way after becoming a child as we did before? It ain't going to work. Are there impediments to our living the Christian life? The third type of soil he talks about here is the thorny soil. Again, what you notice here is, again, the seed penetrates the soil. It gets in there. And these are those who become Christians and even will remain on. Notice what he says about it. It says, unlike the two previous soils, the seed is able to implant firmly into the soil. That the seed gets in there and the roots begin to grow. However, because so many weeds and thorns spring up around it, this newly formed and sometimes older formed plant is unable to get the nutrients that it needs to produce. You ever had an unfruitful tree or a plant that you planted that didn't produce anything? I know Homer, he had a couple of trees like this, and they just never would produce. I don't know if it was apples or what it was exactly, but it was, and I remember him talking about that all the time. He'd work with it and work with it, and just never produced. Well, that's an unfruitful tree, isn't it? That's not really worth much unless you're just looking for shade. But it's not producing what it's promised to produce. Well, notice again here what the example is, what he's saying to us. These are Christians. He's talking about Christians here. These are those who received the word. It began to be planted into their heart. It grew roots. It sprung up. And then it quit. Those Christians who just come and sit in the pew. That's what he's talking about, isn't it? It's those who come but never produce anything in their lives. Are never fruitful. We get echoes of this in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, he writes, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, who've matured. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Notice again, those plants, those baby plants, those young plants. Do you expect that tomato plant that you buy at the store and you go and plant, do you expect it to grow, start growing tomatoes the same day? No, there's an expectation it's going to need some time to grow. And it'll continue to grow. And eventually, once it matures, what's going to start happening? You're going to get those blooms on it, and those blooms are going to lead to fruit. What if you bought that same plant and it never grew up? Sure, it was green, it was there, it was alive, sort of. But it wasn't making any maturity, like it wasn't moving, it wasn't growing at all. This is a scary one in my mind, because I feel like it's easy for any of us to get in this state of life. To just feel like coming is enough. I'm here. And now it's gotten to the point where people even feel like it's just okay just to come to worship Sunday morning and that's it. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? And that can happen to any of us. We get so choked up by everything else going on in our lives. And what's funny and amazing to me is sometimes same individuals will be so active in other areas of their lives. Kids are in sports, man, they're there. They're there with the kid, they're there in the moment with them, and they're pushing that, and they'll spend money and effort and time in that, which is fine. I'm not dogging those things. But when you can expend that kind of energy towards something like that, yet you can't expend the energy in the Lord's church with the same kind of eagerness and fire, then there's a problem. There's a misaligned priorities. You've got too many thorns in your life. Thorny soil. To me, this is one of the most dangerous ones, because it's so easy to get into this and not realize it. Now, each and every one of us want to say we're this type of soil, right? The next one. I hope I'm good soil. I know at times in my life, maybe I was, and at times in my life, maybe I wasn't. But what we notice about this soil is that this type of soil has been made ready to receive the word. They are ready to hear. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These are those who believe the report Isaiah is talking about. They have readied themselves to hear the word of God. They're able to actually listen. I watched something today. Somebody was talking about, he was all upset about something that happened. And the person said to him, "You're not listening. That's not even what we said." And that was the case. I mean, it was on video, not tape. That's an old word. It's old I am. But it's there, you know, it's recorded. And you can hear what the person said. It was not what he heard, though. Why? Because he wasn't listening. Are we listening to God? The good type of soil is ready to listen, not thinking about their response, not coming in with preconceived ideas about the way things should be or are, but are ready to listen. And not only that, are prepared to do what's necessary so that the seed can get in the ground and begin to grow. You till that ground and you do all those treatments to it and you're getting it ready to receive it, right? And when you go through and you plant those, you want to make sure you get that seed in the soil and you cover it back up. And this type of soil provides those nutrients that plant needs to germinate and to begin to grow. It's free of impediments. It doesn't have those things that hinder the roots from really settling in. But it allows that to happen. And what you also notice about this type of soil is that it continues to allow the plant to grow. One of the worst things for a garden is what? Weeds. Get a good garden going. You ever got one going and weeds just spring up and then, well, you mean to go out there and do the things you need to go through and pick them out. But eventually what happens? Sometimes the weeds take over. And then you start to have to look, where is the plant? And you get worried about going through there and tilling it because you might till the plant up because you don't know where the plant is. That's a silly example. But that would be a tough state to be in, right? But this ground is one that continues to be cultivated. It continues to be worked with. It doesn't stop once it gets the seed. But there's work that has to continue. I love what James says in James 1:21. He says at the beginning of that verse, says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. That's getting rid of all those rocks, those thorns, all those weeds. Get them out of there so that the plant can breathe. He says, get rid of those things. And notice this. And receive with meekness, humbleness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That idea, some versions may translate that, the engrafted word. I love that idea of the engrafted word. One of the things that amazed me as a child is my grandfather would do this. I still don't even know how it really works, but you could take a tree limb from another tree and you could cut it and kind of, you know, do it just right, and you'd put the two together and you'd tape them up. He'd always use black electrical tape. And you'd let that go for a little while and you'd come back. And there's this little, you know, you could tell where he did it, but it's like completely grafted in. It's amazing, you know. And I used to be so amazed at that. But you think about the way that those two things graft together. There's like this coming together. And it's not just kind of haphazardly connected. You know, some of us are haphazardly connected to the church, to the Word. We're just kind of haphazardly. I have some connection, but I'm not really grafted in. How grafted in are we? Grafted in takes some work. You've got to do the work. You've got to make sure that things are just, as you put those two together, that you're doing the work to make sure that grafting goes right. And there's some investment. And when we get grafted in the church, there's some investment we have to make. There may be at times some heartache we have to deal with. There may be some energy and efforts that's required of us. Yet that good soil, that person who is ready to receive the Word of God, has that kind of mindset about themselves. You know, you think about this parable and what Jesus is saying. Notice three types of soil all receive the Word. There's only one that he mentions that doesn't receive the Word. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go out here and three out of four times you're going to get someone, have someone obey the gospel. That's not really the way it works. But of the four types of soil, three of them receive the Word of God. The rocky soil says he receives it with joy. But only one of those types of soil becomes fruitful for the kingdom. What type of soil are we? And you know, soil can change over the years. I remember learning a little bit about agriculture growing up, not very much, but a little bit. One of the things you have to do in farming is you've got to work with the field, right? You've got to change things up, and they change the way they till the ground. They change what they plant in certain areas because soil changes over time, and you need to make sure you keep those nutrients in the soil. It takes work and effort. We're no different. We change over time. Life happens. Different things come into our lives and things go out. People come into our lives and they leave us. Events happen to us and they change us. Think about events in your life. Have you had events in your lives that really changed your outlook? Have changed who you are? I bet you have. Has it maybe been a divorce, a death, a job loss, a sickness, an illness in a child or a parent or a friend? Those things change us. Hardships in life change us. Here's the key. It happens to all of us. Are we continuing to cultivate our heart? Satan loves to lull us to sleep. To lull us to sleep. It's almost like rocking a child. And he'll rock us back and forth with life. And some of us fall asleep. And we quit doing the things that are necessary. What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil is your heart? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom in your own life and in the lives of others? Or do you need help in cultivating a rich, dark soil? You notice one of the things around our house is we have a lot of light colored soil. It's that clay, awful stuff. Really good soil is dark and rich. I remember Kentucky is loaded with dark, rich soil. It's got all those nutrients in there, all that stuff. You know, it's good for growing. I'd love to have a bunch of that right now. But more than that, the kingdom needs a bunch of that in the hearts of us. But we can only have that as if we're working at it. Tonight, are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you ready to listen, to obey? Are you a child of God who needs some work? Has your soil become kind of not as rich anymore? Your soil not real great for growing? You're not producing in your life? Do you need some work with that? Can we pray for you, help you in that? If you have a need at all, please come as together we stand and sing.